Mothers, as many of you know, my mother walked into the arms of Jesus just a year and a half ago. At a pain-filled 96 years old, she was begging Jesus to take her home, and in his time and season, he did. John and I had so hoped to bring her into our home to care for her in her last days, but the difficulty of travel and medical care made it impossible. I applaud those who care for their parents in their last years and offer them safe and comfortable refuge from the storms of life and age. This is the time we esteem mothers for their significant role in our lives and learn more about our responsibilities toward them. 8 times in His Word, our Heavenly Father instructs us to honor our fathers and mothers, and with each verse there's a blessing or consequence attached to this command. It begins when God hands Moses the Ten Commandments to his covenant community. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. In the book of the law, God says each of you must show great respect for your mother and father, and you must always observe my Sabbath days of rest. I am the Lord your God. Here, the instruction to esteem our mothers is combined with the command to ensure a day to honor the Lord and reverence Him. Dishonoring our mothers has severe penalties. Anyone who strikes or dishonors their mothers or fathers are to be put to death, God declares. And cursed is anyone who does so, a declaration that the people must echo. Parents are even advised to bring their rebellious, disobedient sons to their elders for judgment, who will stone them to death, thus removing the evil from their midst. Lest we think this is only an Old Testament adage, Jesus reminds the Pharisees of this command and couples it with loving your neighbor as yourself. Paul informs the Ephesians that children are to obey their parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Following with the passage on honoring our parents and reminding his readers that this is the first command with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Paul follows this with a directive to fathers not to exasperate or provoke their children to anger, instead raising them in the discipline and instruction from the Lord. I wonder why he doesn't give this command to mothers. God himself, while definitely identifying himself as our father in the area of discipline and fatherly love, does in fact also compare himself to mothers in their care and nurturance. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she's born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. To the prophet Isaiah, God says of his people, I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. And Jesus uses this metaphor in his grief over his people's rejection. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Additionally, God continually ministers to mothers in unique and specific ways throughout Scripture. It begins when he enables Eve to bear first Cain, of whom Eve says, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. And then after the death of Abel and banishment of Cain, she has Seth and says, God has granted me another son in place of Abel, whom Cain killed. It's almost as if she's saying, God is still blessing me and affirming me as the mother of all who live, despite the evil that my oldest son has done. Similarly, for Sarah, God commends his blessing, saying, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. And although Sarah was unwilling to embrace a child whose birth she herself had initiated, nonetheless, she was deeply committed to her own child. It is through the life of Hagar that we see God's tenderness towards mothers. Enslaved, forced to bear her master's son, then ejected along with her son from their home, Hagar wanders aimlessly in the wilderness, Overwhelmed with the thought of watching her son die of starvation and thirst, she bursts into tears. But God heard the crying of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven, "Hagar, what's wrong? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Go to him and comfort him, for I will make him a great nation from his descendants." Then God provides a well, and he continues to watch over her and the boy in the wilderness. Mothers, never doubt that God cares for you and your children in your impoverished state. Hagar's life is a perfect example of God's thoughtful sensitivity, as we read in Isaiah 40:11. He will take care of his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs together and carry them in his arms, and he will gently lead their mothers. We see God's care again when mothers face the illness of their children. God leads the prophet Elijah to an impoverished widow who's getting ready to prepare her last meal for herself and her son. Miraculously, God expands their oil and flour throughout the season of drought. And then when the child grows sick and dies, God, through the prayers of Elijah, restores the child's life and reunites him with his mother. This miracle is repeated with Elisha, Elijah's protege, who accepts the hospitality of a Shunammite woman. First, God blesses her with a son, and then when her son sickens and dies, God again raises this boy through the fervent prayers of Elisha. We see the same instance in the ministry of Jesus Christ when he's called to the home of Jairus, whose daughter has become mortally ill. Despite the mocking of unbelievers, Jesus takes the mother and father into the little girl's room and tenderly takes the little girl's hand and speaks life back into her. Again, when a widow loses her son to death, Jesus comes upon the funeral party and, seeing the mother's sorrow, his heart is overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he says. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. Speaking to the boy, he says, "Young man, get up." And the boy rises and begins to talk, and Jesus gives him back to his mother. Be encouraged, mothers. When your children are suffering, Jesus is suffering with you, and his compassion will carry you through. What is the responsibility of mothers? We are to be fearless and dedicated as Jochebed, Moses' mother, bearing a son in slavery at a time when Pharaoh ordered all the newborn Hebrew boys to be thrown into the Nile River. Jochebed hid her little son from the soldiers. Then ingeniously she crafts a basket, places her infant son inside and bathes him with her tears and places him in the water, literally trusting her beloved son into the hands of God, while instructing Miriam, her daughter, to watch over him. Then God directs this basket to Pharaoh's daughter, who amazingly loves and protects the baby. Then Miriam's quick thinking has Moses returned to Jochebed to be nursed. Can you imagine how difficult it was for Jochebed to return her young son to Pharaoh's daughter to raise? What a fierce and faithful heart she must have had. Hannah had a similar heart, promising her yet-to-be-conceived son to temple service with Eli. She, too, kept Samuel with her until he was weaned and then brought him to Eli. Year by year, Hannah would make her son a coat, tenderly stitching every seam with her love and prayers. Her little boy would be raised in God's house, where he would first hear the voice of the Lord and later serve as the nation's priest and prophet. Mothers, just as it is important that you serve the Lord, it is equally important that you guide and direct your children to serve the Lord. Elizabeth and Mary were such mothers. Mary obeyed God in birthing the Savior of the world, and she acknowledged the incredible task she was given. Recognizing the calling and power of God on her son's life, she is the first to say, "Do whatever he tells you." Even as she must watch her beaten and bloodied son take his last breath, she is there by his side. She was in the upper room praying after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and is likely to have been there with other believers at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit mightily filled those gathered there. She inspires us to be faithful servants too. But we're also warned in Scripture about the type of mother we are not to be. Rebecca, having heard from God that she would bear twins and the older would serve the younger, ordered her beloved younger son Jacob to deceive his elderly blind father, to steal the birthright from her oldest son, Isa. Her deception set in motion events that would tear the family apart and separate her from Jacob for the rest of her life. What is the lesson? Trust the Lord to accomplish his will in his way, for your interference will only bring about hardship. Your children look to you for spiritual guidance. Give them Jesus. Be a godly representative of Christ so they will grow in love with him too. Scripture shows the importance of such training, for the godly King Joash had a godly mother, whereas the evil King Ahaziah had an evil mother who encouraged him to do wrong. King Lemuel, in the opening verses of Proverbs 31, acknowledges that his mother taught him these important godly instructions. Some scholars have suggested this is a pet name of Solomon given to him by his mother Bathsheba. Whoever Lemuel was, he recognizes the importance of listening to his mother, something Solomon advises throughout his Proverbs. So then, children, give your mothers joy in following the Lord. Let them rejoice in your faithfulness and delight that they will share eternity with you and Jesus. So, beloved, let us follow the Lord as mothers. Let us follow the Lord as their children and honor them always. In Jesus' name, amen.